News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Lots to get to this hour, including you, if you like, at 343-0106. Also, that is the same line if you want to text us, and we're happy to read those texts on the air. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5, and right now we've got a kind of a weather alert.
Yeah.
We're kind of concerned with what might be happening close to us, not necessarily in our area, but it could scrape by us, and certainly it's going to get really cold tonight when we get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been
it's
kind of...
It's going to be something.
I spent my weekend laughing at the misfortune of all of those west of us and north of us. It seems like we're like in this perfect little spot where mm-hmm. we don't have all this ice and even the snow that a lot of places are getting. I saw this morning they have I-10 closed west of Baton Rouge right now.
Wow.
Because of ice on the interstate. That's how icy it is. They said the westbound lanes of I-10 are covered in ice near Lake Charles, Louisiana. And, you know, we've seen all these winter storm warnings and ice warnings. I think 28 counties in Alabama are under a state of emergency preparedness or whatever they call it. Mobile County, not one of those. I know Clark County and Washington County were both included in that 28 county, I guess, emergency preparedness thing. But I also saw in Morgan County up on US 231, a 20 vehicle accident due to probably the ice on the roads up there. And did you see the I know we talked about it a little bit last week, the end of the week, that Fort Worth pileup.
Terrible.
I think the final number on that, 135 cars in a accident in Fort Worth. Six people ended up dying, but that just goes to show you ice and Southerners on the road don't always mix.
No, you know, and what was terrible about that, nearly everything was terrible about that event in Fort Worth, but then the ice was so bad that you couldn't get personnel there, emergency mm-hmm. personnel, to get to the people who were now injured and trapped, and
yeah.
It was a big mess.
I saw a video. I don't know where it was, but this truck in like this subdivision, he just backed out of his driveway. So he was like parallel in the road. He just backed out of his driveway. And the truck just started sliding perfectly down the road. That's it's amazing. Amazing what ice can do.
Well, we might have to be a little careful around here. We're going to wake up to quite an adjustment in the morning.
Yeah.
18 degrees.
Possibly a record low.
Yeah. And the winds out of the northwest, where it's going to feel, even the high tomorrow is going to be in the low 40s, but with the wind in the middle of the day, it's going to feel like the upper 20s.
It'll be interesting to see what that does to the people that were planning on gathering for Fat Tuesday. Wasn't cold enough yesterday to stop quite a few who went out for Joe Kane Day, but we'll talk about that later in the hour and yep. what Mayor Sandy Stimson had to say about some of the revelry from this weekend. The big story from Saturday, former President Donald Trump was acquitted on the single charge of inciting an insurrection. It was the former president's second impeachment trial, and he's now the only president to be acquitted twice. It ended up being a 57-43 vote to convict. The problem for the Democrats and those seven Republicans who voted to convict is they needed 67 votes, two-thirds supermajority, and they did not get that. The seven GOP senators who voted to convict, Richard Burr of North Carolina, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Mitt Romney from Utah, Ben Sasse from Nebraska, and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. Now, five of those senators, Collins, Murkowski, Romney, Sasse, and Toomey, had voted earlier before the trial that it was a constitutional trial. So we had an idea that those five would vote to convict. There were two more Republican senators, Burr from North Carolina and Cassidy from Louisiana. They were the only two to change their minds over the course of the trial. Yesterday, Bill Cassidy, the Louisiana senator, he went on ABC's This Week and talked about why he voted the way he did in the trial.
I'm attempting to hold President Trump accountable. And that is the trust I have from the people that elected me. And I am very confident that as time passes, people will move to that position.
And now, you know, the big question for Republicans is where do they go from here with 2022 elections coming up, the next presidential election in 2024? Of course, they don't have all the say. Former President Trump would have a lot of say in what happens in the future of the Republican Party.
Some Republicans aren't so sure about that, and I'll get to that here in just a moment.
Okay, and some Republicans want to move on from the Trump era.
Some think they can.
Some think they can. Some think that he's ingrained now. Bill Cassidy, one of those who thinks it's time to move on.
The Republican Party is more than just one person. The Republican Party is about ideas. We were the party that was founded to end slavery. We were the party that preserved the Union. We were the party that passed the first civil rights law. We were the party that ended the Cold War. We are the party that before COVID had an economy that had record low unemployment for everyone that is able, the high school dropout, the veteran, the woman, the black, the Hispanic, you name it. That is a party of ideas. Now the American people want those ideas, but they want a leader who is accountable and a leader who they can trust. I think our leadership will be different going forward, but it will still be with those ideas.
So that last line there, I think our leadership will be different going forward. That's what Cassidy is hedging that vote on. He's hoping that Trump is kind of removed from GOP politics.
So I think this is quite telling. Nikki Haley's always been front row Trump supporter. Absolutely, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know she said something going into 2016. She was worried about if Trump became president. But since then, Team Trump. That's right.
Exactly. So, yeah, there were a lot of those going into when he's coming down the staircase and all that, right? Anyway, she is now distancing herself from Trump, saying, quote, he let us down, and predicting he will no longer, quote, be in the picture going forward. Haley, the former South Carolina governor who served as ambassador to the United Nations under Trump, spoke with Politico about the aftermath of the January 6th attack on the Capitol in a profile published Friday. And as Trump is accused of inciting the riot, of course, we saw that and he was acquitted. But some of Haley's words are really strong. She says he has now, quote, lost any sort of political viability he was going to have as they move forward. Quote, I don't think he's going to be in the picture. Haley said of Trump, I don't think he can. He's fallen so far. End of quote. Haley went on to say, we need to acknowledge he let us down. He went down a path he shouldn't have gone, and we should not have followed him, and we shouldn't have listened to him, and we can't let that ever happen again. End of quote. As far as the tweet and Trump's tweet, and for the most part, non-action as the rioters were in the Capitol building, and that kind of the peril that left many, including Mike Pence, Haley said she was, quote, disgusted by it. And I would think that, you know, that's a conversation to have. If he's not acquitted with inciting the riot, and I could actually see that argument. At the same time, what do Trump supporters think of his action / inaction when it was all going down, and his tweet and his statement to the rioters then at 4, 5, or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, we love you, you're special to us. You know, how do you square all that? I'm just curious. Text line or if you want to call 343-0106.
Yeah, the way I've seen many Trump supporters kind of squaring that, and even Lindsey Graham kind of commented on it yesterday, and he had a lot of comments. We can get to some of those coming up, including who he said is the biggest winner out of the impeachment trial, and it's a Trump, but not the former president. So we can get to that in the next break. But Graham yesterday, he said, if he used the words Pandora's box. He said Pandora's box has been opened with this impeachment trial, and if that was enough to start a trial, the impeachment of former President Trump, because of words he used that may have caused these riots to begin, he said, then why not, you know, impeach Vice President Kamala Harris for bailing out some of the rioters from last summer, and some of those rioters even going on after getting bail to do some violent things. So I think that's kind of the main way that it's been squared away. You know, a lot of people saying, yeah, that was bad what happened to the Capitol, but look at what happened over the summer last year. And even Lindsey Graham kind of noted that yesterday. And also, as far as where does the GOP go from here, it's a situation where I think they probably can't win without Trump, but they also probably can't win with Trump, with the number of Republicans that left the party. So leaves them in quite a bind heading into 2022.
So where do you sit with not the inciting of the riot? President Trump, once it all was in action, and what his response was the rest of the day. That's what I'd be happy to hear. 343-0106. Also, the text line is the same at 343-0106. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings. Talking about President Donald Trump during the hours of the insurgency and his actions / inactions, or his behavior the rest of that day, and if you felt as a Trump supporter let down at all by that, couple of Davids are chiming in. One says, talking about Nikki Haley, it highlighted that going into the break, that she was disgusted with his actions and that where it left so many, including Vice President Pence. He says she's a lot of things, but she isn't stupid. She's trying to position herself for a presidential run in 2024, but I don't think trying to play it down the middle is going to work. Also, another David says, I voted for Trump, but I think he and Roy Moore both need to get on a slow boat and leave politics. That's a couple of Davids chiming in on the text line talking about the behavior of Donald Trump on the 6th of January.
And, you know, not many avenues now for the former president to let his thoughts be known publicly, at least not on social media.
No.
I did hear that we should see probably an increase in Trump going out and doing more interviews like he was known for years. And I would venture a guess that Fox and Friends would probably be the first to get the president on. It seemed to be one of his favorite programs. And who knows, maybe that would be as early as this week. Maybe he would wait a few more weeks. But he did send out a statement via email following the acquittal. And for those that are kind of wondering about the future of the former president, he said, our historic, patriotic, and beautiful movement to make America great again has only just begun. In the months ahead, I have much to share with you, and I look forward to continuing our incredible journey together to achieve American greatness for all of our people. There's never been anything like it. But with the Haley comments and with the way Mitch McConnell blistered the former president after voting to acquit, you could see that the Republican Party, they're really starting to get into their lanes. You know, like in NASCAR now with the choose cone during a caution, they're picking which side of the track they want to ride on, and you're either squarely behind Trump still, or you're starting to distance yourself. I do agree with David that those that are in the middle are going to get run over. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be polarized going into this next Republican election. Well, Lindsey Graham seems to be one of the senators who has chosen to remain behind the former president, and he had quite a bit to say yesterday on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. First, speaking about the impeachment, he said that Pandora's box has now been opened, and even said Kamala Harris, the vice president, could be the next to be impeached.
We've opened Pandora's box to future presidents, and if you use this model, I don't know how Kamala Harris doesn't get impeached if the Republicans take over the House, because she actually bailed out rioters, and one of the rioters went back to the streets and broke somebody's head open. So we've opened Pandora's box here, and I'm sad for the country.
And, you know, even with that acquittal, they're still not just going to say that this is over and done with. You know, there's been calls for still like a 9/11 style commission. Mm-hmm. We've heard that quite a bit over the last few weeks, and still many politicians pushing that even after the acquittal. And even Lindsey Graham yesterday said he's in favor of that. And he said it was to examine key details that contributed to last month's deadly riot. He said they should go ahead and make a 9/11 type commission, in his words, to ensure that a similar event doesn't happen again in the United States.
No so, kidding.
There's still a lot that they're going to do regarding what happened on January 6th, but the future of the Republican Party is in the air right now. And yesterday, Lindsey Graham, unlike Nikki Haley and Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, he said that he thinks the party needs to work with Trump, that they need Trump to win.
This is a two-way street. 90% of the Republican Party thought this an impeachment was a partisan exercise. That's what I thought. He is out of office. And so to the Republican Party, if you want to win and stop a socialist agenda, we need to work with President Trump. We can't do it without him. And to you, President Trump, you need to build the Republican Party stronger. I'm into winning. And if you want to get something off your chest, fine. But I'm into winning.
He's referring to Mitch McConnell right there, getting it off his chest and putting it on the backs of Republicans that are going to be running here in, you know, before you know it.
Yeah, 2022. Yeah. And one of those seats, and this was really interesting from Lindsey Graham yesterday, there's been talk about, you know, which of the president's children may be next in line to get into politics, but maybe his daughter-in-law, the big winner from the impeachment trial. That's according to Lindsey Graham. So one of the senators who voted to acquit or voted to convict, one of the GOP senators, Richard Burr, is a senator in North Carolina. Now, he already said that he is not running for re-election. His term will be up in 2022. But Lindsey Graham seems to think that President Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, might have been the biggest winner of all this.
The biggest winner, I think, of this whole impeachment trial is Laura Trump. My dear friend Richard Burr, who I like and have been friends to a long time, just made Laura Trump almost a certain nominee for the Senate seat in North Carolina to replace him if she runs. And I'll certainly be behind her because I think she represents the future of the Republican Party.
So maybe Laura Trump, the first of the Trumps to get in on the political side of things. And I don't know, her husband, Eric, there hasn't been much talk of Eric Trump getting in. We have heard maybe Donald Trump Jr. may run for president or some higher office.
I've heard that,
And his daughter as well, Ivanka. So I don't know. We'll see. But I have trouble believing that the former president is just going to, you know, pack it in and not run for office anymore. He'll certainly be a big part of the 2022 campaign for Republicans.
Billy says on the text line, I will reserve judgment of Trump tweets and failure to stop it until I hear the explanation. But the presumption that he cared more about keeping power than life, liberty, and property has been made. And it has been made. And what does his silence say to this point? His silence on those hours, what does that silence about all that say? He could be on Fox and Friends any day he wants. They would stop the presses and get him on and probably go commercial free for as long as he wanted.
No doubt about that. He would have all the time in the world that he wants. Texter here says, why do the Republicans think they have to have Trump to win in the future? And I would say it's because Trump built such a strong coalition of voters that are in it. You know, they're ride or die. They're with Trump or they're not with anyone else. You know, I think that's kind of how this is shaken out. And even after what happened in the beginning of January and going forward, I think that there are just, you know, a ton of Trump supporters, maybe not the 75 million that voted for Trump during the November election, but certainly
they voted Republican.
Certainly a very large portion of those that voted for Trump are willing to, you know, do it again and vote for whoever Trump ends up backing in these upcoming elections. So I think that's why, especially some of the Republicans who have been in the game for a long time, Lindsey Graham being one of those, they see what's happened and they know that without Trump, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to win because so many of his voters just probably won't turn out. And I think with Trump, it's still going to be a tough road because there were a lot of voters lost, especially after what happened at the Capitol. But I think maybe Graham feels they have a better chance winning with Trump than without.
Hey, he's playing straight up politics. Do we dare?
Do we dare?
Ricky is on the line. Oh. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Ricky.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Wow. What a conversation.
Thank you, Ricky.
I don't know what the Republican Party calls itself Republican. It's not Republican. Ain't none of them. They're all Democrats now. And then you got the wacky left. You know, there's no such thing as a Republican Party. So we need to come to grips of where we are as a nation and where we're headed. Because if we keep following the pattern now, we're all gonna be, you know, completely left Democrats. I mean, there is no Republican Party. It's died when they kicked out Donald Trump, what they did to him, and then all this talk about what happened at the Capitol when we know now that it was Black Lives Matter and Antifa dressed up as rioters.
Yeah, we know so, it wasn't, Ricky. We know it wasn't that.
Of that, so what? That had nothing to do with Trump. So
yeah. Okay.
People with common sense out here.
Yeah, okay. There's the one man with common sense. His name is Ricky. He should have his own show, I suppose. He's got a lot of the answers that none of us, for some reason, did.
Hey, I'd listen.
I'd listen to the show.
Make sure it's on the air.
I wouldn't listen for, like, the answers to life itself. turning up your voice, 343-0106. Also on the text line, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwick.
You want to talk Mardi Gras when we get back?
Yeah, let's do that.
Joe Kane Day, Fat Tuesday on the way.
Good call. Let's do that. And cold weather, too. That could play a role in how revelers see Fat Tuesday, all on the way.
FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. And yesterday, Joe Kane Day. Right now, Lundy Gras. Tomorrow, Fat Tuesday. And it's not the same. Of course, the parades haven't been rolling. But Yardi Gras has been awesome in our area this year. And the Yardi Gras sale continues at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. It's going to be continued through tomorrow. And we're going to be here today and tomorrow. And I want everybody to be careful out there, man. If you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget, we got the best body shop in Mobile. We'll take care of all your needs. call them at 251-476-4141. If you're looking for a car, check out our website at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got 0% hand money on the Buick line. Got some great deals. Gene's been playing with the prices on the used cars. So y'all can check all those out, like I said, online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If there's not a picture up there, let Gene or I know, and we'll shoot you a video and send it to you and hook you up in one of these fine rides.
Yeah, and, you know, many people who don't have the heated seats over these next couple of days will be wishing that they had. I know some of these new vehicles have more than just heated seats. We're talking like heated steering wheels. It's time to get in something newer.
That's right. In fact, I just got out of another brand truck that I was driving because it didn't have a heated steering wheel. I'm going into a GM because it's got it. We've got those out there on the lot right now. So, like I said, we got plenty of vehicles, so y'all check all those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Give us a call. We'll be here. Happy Yardi Gras.
That's right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
838 FM Talk 106.5. It is Lundi Gras. It is the day before Mardi Gras. It is the day after Joe Kane Day. Now, like I said, I did a little reconnaissance myself around 1 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Were you undercover, or did you go as Dan Brennan?
I did. Well, I wasn't in the FM Talk 106.5. Super trooper truck that we've got. So I was, but I just wanted to check it out, and went down by the. I went down via I-10, so I get a kind of overview of the activity. Not a whole lot going on. Then when I got to Dolphin Street and proceeded down Dolphin Street from about the garage on down toward Bienville Square, and most of the activity was centered from Cathedral Square in. Mm-hmm. And there were people in the streets, and there, it's good to see people outside, I'll say that. Not a lot of masks, but I don't think that you actually asked to wear a mask when you're outside.
I think the city is asking for that, mm-hmm. And I watched video yesterday. It was from our news partners at WKRG, and I don't know if it was Chad Petrie who was out there, or maybe Peter Albrecht or one of our other buddies from over there, but they took some video, and I can't remember where they were in downtown Mobile, but it just showed some people out dancing in the middle of the street and having a good time. And sure, I guess the police found out about it, and I think, or the city found out, and they took like 200 masks down there and distributed them, and then folks started putting on the masks and kind of dispersed a little bit after that. I wasn't really sure what I was expecting to see for Joe Kane Day. I didn't know whether tens of thousands of people would come out or just a few dozen. Seemed to be somewhere kind of in the middle.
Maybe I think it was. That's what it felt like to me. Yeah, it felt like there was a crowd down there. There were certain groups dressed up that were going to be there regardless. And where does this leave us for Mardi Gras tomorrow? By the way, there was a statement from Mayor Stimson. We know that large Mardi Gras parades and closed gatherings have the potential to become super spreader events. That's why we worked with the parading organizations over the last 5 months not to have parades, and with all organizations not to have balls. We're grateful for the shared responsibility and cooperation of the Mardi Gras associations to help slow the spread of COVID-19 during the carnival season. It talks about in recent days, they've picked up some discussion about impromptu marches and such yesterday and also tomorrow, Fat Tuesday. As we stated to the Mardi Gras associations, we have not issued any marching permits, and with no marching will be tolerated. Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about, right? So they came in and kind of squashed that. We will have officers out in force to take action against marching or other unsanctioned events on Joe Kane Day yesterday and Fat Tuesday. Anybody wanting to rat out people and report
Yeah,
they've got a Mardi Gras rat
snitch hotline.
Yeah, snitch hotline right there as well. Also, Dr. Scott Harris with the state of Alabama made this statement concerning Mobile, no parades, but still gathering, and what that all meant. Here is Scott Harris. I think we got him right now. And let me stop this and try it one more time.
Yeah, so this was Dr. Scott Harris talking on Friday, I believe, Friday morning.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think we always have concern when you hear about large numbers of people getting together. And there's nothing magic about it being a parade format versus, milling around in the street together without a parade format. I mean, I think both of those are certainly have the potential for disease transmission for sure. Every activity can probably be made safer, but not every activity is safe. And I would just remind people of these same basic principles we've had all along.
There you go. So just, you know, do what you're supposed to do, and maybe it's all going to work out well. But evidently, if you, you know, the obvious conclusion is if you put yourself in that position around a lot of people, you've got a better chance of maybe catching the virus or spreading it on.
And, you know, I said this a lot last week when we were talking about this, when Joe Kane Day was still in the future and we really had no idea how many people would show up yesterday. You take New Orleans and you take Mobile, and really, you know, two different tracks were taken as far as Mardi Gras. New Orleans basically shut everything down and said we wouldn't have anything going on in New Orleans. And I failed to check in on New Orleans and see what happened yesterday, whether they had people show up and do any impromptu marching or anything like that. So I need to check into that. But I really think this was such a tough decision for Mayor Stimson and, you know, other mayors who have parades and who their economy really benefits greatly from Mardi Gras year in and year out. Now, we saw what the mayor of New Orleans did. She shut down the bars. She said no delivery, no outdoor service, nothing. And in Mobile, that was really the decision. You either tell people no marching and no parades. I mean, there were, I guess, a few decisions. You could have just gone on with Mardi Gras the same way we do every year,
right,
and had these parades, when it was actually the parading organizations who were the first to say, you know, we're not going to do it this year, even though there were some late hangers on. And the police have really gone hard after these organizations who march anyway. And it seems like they're going to run into some issues next year if they decided to do that this year.
They could lose their permit next year.
But back to the decision that had to be made by Mayor Stimson and his administration, either you open things up, you block off roadways and try to give people as much space as possible if they do decide to come downtown, and at the same time, let bars and restaurants be open. And they did that, but they also said you need to be abiding by health codes. And it was the Mobile County Health Department who was supposed to be out and kind of checking and making sure that these restaurants and bars abided by the rules that have been set by the Safer at Home order. But I think that's so important to keep those restaurants open and running, because they had already been through so much at the beginning of the pandemic. On the other side, I also, as much as, you know, Dr. Scott Harris and the arrows that the Mobile County Health Department has taken over their decisions over the last year, it really seems like their answer to whether Mardi Gras should be permitted in any form or fashion, they said, listen, the way I heard it is, you're an individual. You can make your individual decision. Just know, if you go out to an event like this, you have much higher odds of catching COVID-19 and then taking that back to your family. And then that goes from there to who knows? What was it they said at Mardi Gras in New Orleans last year? One person contributed to the spread of 50,000 cases of COVID-19.
That was what they said. And we're right here in this spot where the cases are as low as they've been since before Halloween. Mm-hmm. So we're in a really good spot right now. And maybe this terrible weather tomorrow, at least cold weather tomorrow, will save Mobile from itself.
Yeah, if you were planning on going out tomorrow, are you still for Fat Tuesday when it's going to be freezing?
Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:51. Looking over the lineup for the Jeff Poor Show coming up here in minutes. I know in the 11 o'clock hour, he's got a couple of weekly favorites, April Marie Fogel and also Dale Jackson. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's usually on at 11:30, but he is today anyway. All on the Jeff Poor Show coming up.
Yeah, Jeff will also have a couple legislators from our state. State Representative Richie Wharton coming up in the first hour, and then State Senator Tom Watley in the second hour. So you don't want to miss that. And speaking of legislators who were working over these last couple of weeks up there in Montgomery as the legislative session has been in session, Governor Ivey on Friday signed three bills into law, and these were three of the most important ones that she talked about during her State of the State address just a couple weeks ago. One makes those who have received money from the federal stimulus relief bill, makes that money exempt from state income taxes. So that was a big one they wanted to get passed. Also, another bill that renews and expands laws that allows the state to offer tax credits and other incentives to help it recruit some of these major businesses into the state of Alabama, which thereby helps create jobs. And then the third bill that was signed into law gives some protection from lawsuits to businesses, healthcare providers, schools, and churches against those that claim damages for sickness from COVID-19. So those three have been signed by the governor, three of the most important ones that she wanted to get signed. And then they're off this week in Montgomery. They had planned to take a break after 2 weeks of being in session. It's to kind of gauge where they are as far as COVID-19 inside of the state house and to kind of regroup, see if anyone Any of the senators or representatives have caught it, and see if any changes need to be made to keep people safe. And then they'll be right back at it next week with some pretty interesting bills to consider. One of those is the casino, lottery, and sports betting bill that was introduced by State Senator Del Marsh. Sounds like he's been listening to a lot of suggestions from politicians around the state and will make some changes to that. But from everything I've read, it looks like that may sail through. I don't know. You'll have to hear from Jeff Poore whether he thinks it'll sail through and make it to Governor Ivey's desk. You also have the medical marijuana bill. They'll be discussing that when they come back. Also some things regarding the Department of Corrections, like creating a second parole board to relieve a backlog of inmates that have been eligible for parole hearings. And believe it or not, we've heard from quite a few people who are currently in, you know, the they work. They're prisoners, technically, but they're still working, and they're able to listen to the station. And some of them have said they've been up for parole, and they just haven't had their chance to plead their case. Also, the home delivery of liquor, wine, and beer, that'll come up after next week. So some of the stuff that's going on in Montgomery as they take their break. And also, you know, there was news last week, I think it was last week, that Senator Richard Shelby said he's calling it quits. He's going to head into retirement and not run for Senate again, not run for re-election come 2022. So that brought about everyone wondering who might run for that open Senate seat. Congressman Mo Brooks has been a big name. He didn't deny that he would run for the seat. And now John Merrill, in a story from our very own Jeff Poore, Secretary of State John Merrill was on Capitol Journal on Alabama Public Television Friday night, and he addressed that speculation. He said, I think he said that by, what was it, we'll make a formal announcement the first or second week of April. So
wow.
I don't think people that aren't running say they'll make a formal announcement. So just take of that what you will. It seems like Merrill will be in the running for that Senate seat.
Sad situation over the weekend, too. I wanted to bring this to everybody's attention. I was watching Tennessee against LSU basketball. I was watching Tennessee against LSU basketball. Of course, Dalton, a huge Vol fan. So when I texted with him, like, hey, man, are you watching this game? evidently, that was not part of the game plan on Saturday at your house.
Yeah.
And you sent back a picture of a TV, blank TV, turned off. In the middle of a two-year-old's birthday party.
I was good this weekend, Dan. I did not turn on the TV during the party. Now, before the party and after the party, sports were on the TV. But yes, we had a two-year-old's birthday party on Saturday.
Sweaty baby.
Sweaty baby.
He's now two.
I know you asked for an invite. I mean, you were pretty blatant about it.
I was.
And I said, I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I can scrounge up a ticket.
So you couldn't watch the game. You couldn't let me in the house. Anything else you were denying yourself?
We just had we had her grandmother from my wife's side. Both of my parents were there, and then just me and my wife.
It would have been lovely to meet them all.
New baby. We all donned Mickey and Minnie Mouse ears for the party.
I'd have done that.
We had a cake. The best part was we had a Minnie Mouse tutu for the two-year-old. And she came out. She had, like, so many presents. I was showing you the picture earlier, and it looks like she has, like, the, like, what was it, Arthur, the rich, spoiled brat? Yeah. It almost seemed like that, but 90% of it was clothes.
The only thing, so the picture I saw, the only thing missing was a Christmas tree. There was so many presents bestowed upon this one tiny little being.
Yeah. And we misjudged. She was worn out halfway through unwrapping the presents. It was just too much work for a two-year-old.
Yeah.
But her aunt, who was not able to make it down, you know, she wanted to buy her some things.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, not being there, you can get gifts that the people that are around the two-year-old probably don't want. She got her fingernail polish. So there's now fingernail polish all over my living room. She doesn't stop at the nail when she paints her entire fingers and then her hand and then all the way up her arm.
She's two.
I know. I guess I expected too much out of her.
Well, her aunt did. Anything? She give her a blow dryer?
She got her curlers, hot curling iron.
So, all right, now Sweaty Baby's got the big party, and she's, you know, everybody is making a big deal out of her. Meanwhile, in the baby crib is, you know, I guess Sweaty Baby 2.
Yeah.
How did she behave during all this?
She kind of kept to herself.
She's 2 months old.
She has like the worst hiccup fits of any baby or person I've ever seen.
Also, we've got something new. So sweaty baby one,
hiccup baby.
Hiccup baby.
Yeah, even when she was in the womb, hiccups like crazy, which apparently women can feel. I did not know that. But she would hiccup every couple minutes and then keep to herself. But yeah, it was overall, I would say, I'd give it an 8.5 out of 10 for a second birthday party. A lot of fun, and I really just wish you had accepted your invite and shown up.
I did not get an invite. I don't remember that. Now, on the other hand, we were ready for a big day of festivities as the FM Talk 106.5 crew.
Mobile Command Unit.
The Mobile Command Unit. We were going to be in some Mardi Gras parades that were put together by the Greater Gulf State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a contest where neighborhoods could give themselves a chance to win a party right through their neighborhood. And we had several winning neighborhoods. The first one was out in West Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Way out West Mobile. Well, for me, way out West Mobile. Far to the west of Baker High School. But then the station went off the air. We had to make a quick trip out to the so all of us went out to the transmitter. Like
that's
any
a field
of us knew
trip.
What was, yeah, it was like an educational field trip. In any event, a lot of fun. I know they also had some impromptu parades in Spanish Fort and Saraland as well, where you stood still and the parade went by you.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool for sure. 858 FM Talk 106.5 and Jeff Poor's on the way next.